The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, United Airlines, and Verizon.
It's a special Monday edition of Bears All Access as we get you set for the NFL draft, which starts Thursday night from right here in town. Zach Zaidman alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller. You can join us throughout the program. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Again, 312-644-6767, the phone number. The best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. So here's what we know about Ryan Pace. We know that in his brief time as Bears general manager, when it comes to the draft, big school, big production, good football character, and you don't have to project where a guy's going to play. Meaning if he was a defensive end at the collegiate level, he's going to be a defensive end in the pros. We saw that last year with Kevin White, Eddie Goldman. We saw it with Jeremy Langford and so on and so forth. So when it comes to those guys, that's the history of drafting in regards to Ryan Pace. What does it mean, Tom, when the Bears are on the clock with the 11th overall pick on Thursday night?
I think Ryan Pace knows the team. He knows the talent. He knows the organization. He knows John Fox a lot better. So I think he's making more of an educated decision about the talent that he knows that can come aboard and help this football team. And I think that's a key ingredient into this year's draft as opposed to last year's draft, because I don't think Kevin White was a reach. I think he's a super talented player, and he's going to prove the Bears hierarchy right when he finally gets on the field. However, when you have a chance to sit there and observe every OTA, every practice, go into the meeting rooms, understand the intelligence that's required by the athlete to come in here and be a contributor on a Vic Fangio defense, or, you know, the offense that the Bears are going to run by Dow Loggins. So again, I think there's just a lot more knowledge that Ryan Pace has to make not as much of an educated guess, but really an educated answer to what the Bears need.
Jim, when you look at Ryan Pace and the traits that he's established since taking over as the general manager, what stands out to you that gives you an idea of what he's thinking come Thursday night?
Well, I just think for him, he wants solid, productive football players, anywhere from Langford, who they drafted last year, or Adrian Amos, who was one of the better defensive backs in the Big Ten, which is a conference where they play a lot of big-time talent. You could say that about Goldman. I'd say that about Kevin White, I mean, because he's just a speed demon. He's looking for the football traits that really translate. But every one of those players were productive players in college and solid individual when it comes to character. And so I think he'll stick with that mold. I think that's what he believes in. And, they will get productive players. The more and more you think about it, you just hear Shaq Lawson's name more and more out of Clemson. You know, here's a guy who went to the combine, ran a very good 40 time, played injured, never missed a game. So he's a tough guy and comes with a lot of production out of Clemson. So we're thinking defensive side of the ball, because they need to really finish that project, as that defense really couldn't close out games for the Chicago
and
Bears.
He's the kind of player, Jim, that fits the mold of big school, big production, good football character, and a guy where you don't have to worry what position he's going to play. He played it at a high level. You don't have to guess. You don't have to project. But here's the thing. Last year, the Bears drafted a guy. They didn't have any concerns about him in Kevin White, and then he gets injured. Does that, Tom, when you look at the Kevin White injury, and I hear that, you know, today Peter King talked about it on the Monday Morning Quarterback, about how there could be another procedure that Lawson has to have, minor one, prior to the season on that shoulder. Do you get a little weary when it comes to that, considering what happened last year with Kevin White?
Kevin White was about preparation. He was preparing himself to be ready for the NFL rigors and the season that's going to take place. And you can't ever determine a guy by his desire to be ready, but gets injured in the way. When I look at Shaq Lawson, I have a hard time. Every time I look at a highlight, I see that it's a cup around his arm. And what that does, it's a harness that holds your shoulder into place to keep it from getting sublex too much and it can pop out. So that I have a hard time getting over that. I enjoy what I see on film, his ability to get off the ball, the way he finishes tackles, the way he can defeat offensive linemen, tight ends, or any blocker in front of him. I like all that. To me, now when we're talking about the draft, that's the information that we are not privileged to. And it's really hard to say, oh, yeah, if I see everything, all the highlights that I see out of Shaq Lawson, I would like to have him on my team. But I need a guy that's committed to 16 games a year. I don't want a guy that's in and out of the lineup. I want a guy that's on a field and in a stance every day. So, again, if we were privileged to that medical information, yeah, I would probably have a clearer answer for you.
Well, that's a good point because, you know, there's a lot of teams, and we've discussed this before about having the medical competitive advantage. Obviously look at what St. Louis or now L.A. did last year with Todd Gurley. You know, him coming off the ACL, and they felt comfortable in their doctors and their diagnosis about that he was going to be able to come back and be 100%. They were just going to have to really, you know, bring him along the right way. And I think when I look at Shaq Lawson, and you mentioned the shoulder harness, Tom, to me, it says a lot about a guy. This guy wants to play football. He played through that injury, wore that as a preventative nature when you wear those shoulder harnesses that you mentioned, still was productive and fought through it and never missed a game for Clemson Tigers. So to me, I kind of somewhat is intriguing about him because you want tough guys that line up. You're not going to be 100% healthy every single week in the National Football League. And by all indicators, and you're right, Tom, only the teams are going to know how that medical recheck went for Shaq Lawson's shoulder. But it sounds like it went through with flying colors. But only the teams are privy to that information.
He benched well at the combine, right, Zach?
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, that's a proving point to me. I'm just saying because we see the highlights of him throughout his college years, and that's the one thing I'm drawn to each time.
And something that I do want to point out, when it comes to those combine measurables, they do matter in terms of Ryan Pace. Because last year, Kevin White, top three in terms of fastest guy at the combine. Jeremy Langford was the fastest running back. So you kind of get to see an idea of what Ryan Pace is looking for, what's important to him in regards to the draft selection process. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. After the phones we go. Chris in Lakeview, you are on Bears All Access.
Thank you, gentlemen. Two players, Darren Lee and Leonard Floyd. Do you think they can fit in a 3-4 for the Bears? I think the Bears have got to get some athleticism there. And I think they're both very intriguing. What do you think?
You know, one thing I would say, Jim, you know more about the talent right now than I do, that, you know, we are talking about the Bears are identified as a 34 defense. But when you really go out there, I think about probably 60% of the time, almost 70% of the time, they're in an even front look because they're playing a nickel-style defense against the quarterbacks they face. So it's kind of narrow-sighted to look at a guy. Does he only fit in a 3-4 defense? Because how many actual snaps is he going to line up from his prototypical 3-4 position? Because he's going to have to move around. And that's the thing about Vic Fangio. He's going to create those matchups. And when I see the guy, Floyd from Georgia, he reminds me of Willie Young. And I think Willie Young is a heck of a pass rusher from the outside. And both he and Lamar really grew up last year in this defense. So if you look at the similarities in the body styles, Willie Young and Floyd, they have some similar looks to them.
Yeah, I really struggle with Floyd because, he basically got benched, at Georgia. And so to me, he only had 4 sacks this past year. Is, a fit in the 3-4 defense because that's what Georgia runs. But I have a hard time. To me, that's an effort problem when you basically get benched by your coach, and that somewhat is the wake-up call for you to get back on the field. I'm not saying he's not a talented player because he's certainly a speedy linebacker that would work in a 3-4 defense. For Darren Lee, his position would probably have to be the weak inside backer position because he's more of a cover guy and a run-and-hit guy, played in a 4-3 at Ohio State. I'm not saying he couldn't transition and do it, but you'd like to think Trevathan the young man that they signed from Indianapolis would already be ahead of him on the depth chart. He could be out there, as you said, Tom, in probably a 42 nickel situation with a Trevathan, and those would be your two backers in coverage because that's what they're really known for doing, and that's what Darren Lee is getting high marks on.
Yeah, speed. Again, the thing is you don't want to have to project. I think when you look at Ryan Pace's first draft, guys had production at a certain position. You knew that that's what they would be playing at the NFL level. 312-644-6767. Tony in Villa Park, you're on Bears All Access.
Hello, man.
Hey, Tony.
Hi. You know, the Bears have been burned so many times with guys who turned out to be pre-injured. And I wondered if their schools were covering it up or whatever, but do we have to take another guy who's possibly pre-injured? Can't we find somebody at the start of their career who's, like, really healthy?
Well, it's a great point that you make, Tony, and I get it. But I keep going back to some of the players, and I'll mention them. Tony didn't mention them, but the players that he's talking about, when you start to take a look at recent Bears history and guys who they drafted in the first round who were banged up, whether it was someone like Chris Williams or someone like Gabe Kareemi, did these guys not work out because they were injured, or did they not work out because they weren't good football players? Because we've seen plenty of players come in. You know, you mentioned guys, Todd Gurley last year, Willis McGahee came into the league as a guy who was coming off a very serious injury. We've seen plenty of guys come in who were banged up and managed to have terrific careers because they had the work ethic, the dedication to be good at football. Some of the guys that the Bears had who were banged up were just simply not good football players. Right. So when they got healthy, it didn't matter.
I think good is good, but I like the point Tony's bringing up, because I think it does frustrate a lot of Bears fans when you go out there and you draft a guy high, first, second, third round, and all of a sudden you have to go through a waiting period to make sure that you overcome some type of injury or get him healed. And that's not what I want to see. I want to see a guy that they do their due diligence medically, and they have a guy that's going to be a day one contributor. And again, this has nothing to do with Kevin White, because Kevin White, we are talking about, he was preparing himself to play. And that's what I like in the attitude that I've seen since his injury. He's been a totally dedicated football player to getting back on the football field. But like Tony says, we want a guy that comes in here, and when they give him the jersey, he puts it on every day through OTAs and through training camp, right on through the regular season.
I think it's a good point, because think of what Tennessee did at the number one pick in the draft. They traded out of number one. Granted, they got a lot of compensation, but it also tells you they don't think Laremy Tunsil is 100% clean player. That guy has not lined up a full season in his Ole Miss career. It does factor in. It definitely. I'm not saying he can't be a great tackle. You know more about O-line play than me, Tom. Some people are throwing around Walter Jones comparisons to Laremy Tunsil, but the reality is that guy has never played a complete season at Ole Miss ever his entire career.
And Jim, that's a college season. Now, yeah. You know, prolong that thing by a few months, a lot of games, and a lot of time spent dedicated to your craft. If you're not willing to walk in that facility every single day as a first rounder at the team went to bat for and really put a lot of faith, hope, and desire in your ability and your dedication, if you don't have a guy that's 100% dedicated, then that scares me more than anything, because the first rounder affects the entire locker room.
Think about that. If he's getting compared to Walter Jones, wouldn't you think Tennessee, and that's a need for that team, left tackle?
Be no-brainer.
We'll trade out. No, thank you. So I think it says a little bit, and it's a little telling what's happening at the top of that. Certainly was quarterback motivated for the other teams to trade up there. But if Tennessee thought he was the next Walter Jones, they probably would have stayed there and taken him. So I think it's pretty telling that they believe he's not a clean player.
Boy, I wish we had 3 hours on the show, Jim, just to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, their trade, their thinking, the money already spent.
Hold on.
I just wish we had a long time to talk about it.
When we come back, we'll get your snapshot thoughts on it, because it could affect the Bears depending on how the flow of the draft goes
I hope it does in a positive way. All right, play them week two.
We'll discuss next. 312-644-6767. Bears All Access. Zach Zaidman, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller with you on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show hosted by Anthony Adams and Lauren Screeden, and brought to you by Jimmy John's. Inside the Bears airs every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, or visit chicagobears.com/insidethebears to check out show segments anytime. I know this past weekend, Jim, they went to Tom Thayer's family restaurant out in Joliet, and that was a pretty cool thrill for everyone out there.
Oh, huge thrill for all the people in Joliet and for the people, the regular customers that come in there. They got to watch themselves on TV, and, you know, I see AA threaten to come down there sometimes. And, you know, it's an easy trip from if you're going down to Bears training camp. Joliet's close to Kankakee, so, You know, getting that guy inside that restaurant, I could see him do some damage.
It's a good thing you guys don't have the all-you-can-eat buffet, because he would have cleaned the place out.
Well, you know what? The plates are so filled. If you need more food, my mom will be, she'll give it to you.
Look at Jim. He just wants to go. He's right. Getting hungry right now thinking about it. By the way, Anthony Adams and Lauren Screedon this week travel to Panama with Jeremy Langford, Marquise Wilson, Kyle Fuller, and Willie Young. It's an encore presentation of Inside the Bears. Highlights include beach games, cooking with Langford, touring the Panama Canal, and salsa lessons with the man they call Q in the Bears locker room, Marquise Wilson. Inside the Bears, brought to you by Jimmy John's, airs Saturdays at 6 p.m. on My 50 Chicago and Sundays at 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. You can also watch show segments online at chicagobears.com anytime. So if you miss the Thayer restaurant segment, head to chicagobears.com and then link it up, and man, it'll be pretty cool.
Played it up.
All right, before the break, Tom, you were big on that Cleveland Philadelphia trade, and there was a lot about that, the trade that moved the Eagles to number two, and then today comes the news that Sam Bradford's not happy and will not report to any of the offseason stuff, wants out of Philly.
But I'm unhappy with the time frame, because you go and you hire Doug Peterson, and I played with Doug down in Miami and know him well, and then you sign Bradford to this huge dollar figure contract, and he's not going to stay healthy anyways. And then you make this trade to get in position to get another quarterback that you are going to, once you draft a quarterback or make a trade and go up that high, I think you want a guy that's going to be included in the lineup almost immediately. Let him learn by fire, and you hope that a guy that's you're going to go up to number two for has the talent, the mental capacity, the physical stature, the athleticism to go out and play the position. So, you know, Jim is an NFL insider as much as anybody, and it just confused me, the timing of that whole deal and how much turmoil they created by it, Jim.
Yeah, I just think when you look at Howie Roseman, he's just going back to what Philadelphia did in their past with Donovan McNabb. You know, there was a first-round pick out of Syracuse, and, you know, it's all more perplexing why Cleveland would trade out of that spot. They have been franchise quarterback needy in Cleveland, and all this money ball, and I get it, they want to accumulate more draft picks. This is the same team, Cleveland, that passed up Ben Roethlisberger. Are you kidding me? I mean, and now, so obviously the Rams view these two quarterbacks as franchise ready quarterbacks.
Well, do
and
they?
Obviously, Philadelphia does. And for Cleveland to trade out of it, they need that spot answered more than any team up there.
But are these guys, Jim, you played the position, and I know it's hard to project when you look at someone that's the age of Jared Goff or Carson Wentz, whether or not these guys are going to be future Peyton Mannings or Tom Brady. But are these guys legitimately franchise-altering quarterbacks where the next, 7 to 10 years... You can trust them at the position.
Yeah, I think they're that good and they're that worthy. Obviously, Jared Goff got beat up out there at Cal when he started early in his college career. I mean, they were a bad football team, but he stuck it out. He's tough. He's a guy who's going to beat you from the neck up. He's not the best athlete, but he's got a very quick release. He can diagnose blitzes, move around the pocket good enough, and deliver the ball. He's an anticipatory thrower. And in that Cal offense, there are a lot of pro principles and concepts where he's going to be worthy. And Carson Wentz, for him not to – I know he's from a smaller school at North Dakota State, but he basically grew like 7 inches his senior year. He was 5'10 in high school and then just sprouted his last year, and why he wasn't highly recruited. He's 6'5", 240 pounds. He can beat you with his arms, beat you with his legs. It's a very successful program there at North Dakota State. And just because you're from a small school, don't buy that he can't play at the level of competition in the NFL or the bigger schools. He went down to the Reese's Senior Bowl. He looks the part and is the part, and I think both these guys are going to have nice, solid pro careers.
All right, Jim, I got quarterback question number two for you, and I think this is going to be some proving ground within the NFL, because when you talk about Goff and you talk about Wentz and you talk about these young guys that come in, they get drafted, and they have to go to a team and play, and they live through some growing pains, both good and both and bad. Now you have Garofalo in New England, and with Tom Brady getting suspended for the 4 games, if Garofalo doesn't come out and look like a championship quarterback, look like a guy that's been developing, look like Steve Young, who sat behind Joe Montana for years, he better come out and perform at an extremely high level, or that experiment is a failure. It's because you're sitting behind Tom Brady. You're sitting on a team with Bill Belichick and the offensive minds they have over there. So is that going to prove to you that the quarterback job is more difficult if Garoppolo goes out there and fails? Or if he goes out there and has extreme success, does it prove to you that a guy has to sit behind a quarterback for a couple years in order to learn the system well enough and efficiently enough to make it work?
Yeah, well, that's a very game plan specific system in New England. They've done it before with other quarterbacks like Matt Castle, where he won 11 games in New England. He wasn't like a world beater coming out of training camp.
He never played in college.
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. Think about Brian Hoyer, too. He was an undrafted free agent. They came out of camp, and he was second runner-up to Tom Brady. He was their backup the whole week. They've drafted other guys like Ryan Mallett who aren't even going to touch the field. I think Bill's always going to cultivate that position, but eventually Ryan Mallett became trade bait, and that could ultimately be what happens to Jimmy Garoppolo. If, let's say, if Tom Brady doesn't, I don't know what he can do, appeal or gum up this case in court, basically till he retires, you're right, Garoppolo could get an opportunity, but I think it'll be game plan specific, much like what they did with Matt Castle, and he ultimately could be trade bait for New England after this year. So, and plus, Brian Hoyer's a free agent again. If they're worried about Tom the first four games being suspended, they'll probably have an opportunity to re-sign Brian Hoyer. And he could be added to the roster as well. He has knowledge in their offense.
And from my understanding, they really liked what Garoppolo did during the preseason last year. Because remember, Tom Brady.
Preseason baloney. I'm talking about this is not an experiment anymore. And this is not a watered-down game plan against a vanilla defense. This is full-speed NFL regular season football.
Yeah, for them, it's big because two of their first four games are against division opponents, Dolphins and the Bills. And you got to win your division, as we all know, to get first dibs at the playoffs. And that could become problematic because those teams will be gunning that this could be their best shot to take down New England early in the season with no Tom Brady, if that's the case.
All right. So how does this affect the Bears? Because this is Bears All Access. Right. You saw the trade, and it's not just that the Bears play the Eagles in week two on Monday Night Football. The draft itself, because of this trade, does it potentially change what happens at 11?
Oh, I think it does. I think it does because you really didn't know how the quarterbacks were going to be positioned at the start of the draft conversation, the end of the college football season. Now you kind of got a line on what's going to happen initially at the quarterback position. But all those people that were thinking about taking those high-profile defensive players with those first couple picks, how far do they slide? Do they slide to a team that's maybe going to go and pick depth instead of picking a guy that they need to be a contributor at some other position?
312-644-6767, the phone number here on Bears All Access, and the best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. But, Jim, you know, Tom makes a great point. Say, for example, at 3, we all watched that Monday Night Football game last year when the Bears were playing the Chargers and Phillip Rivers was getting hammered hard in that game. It wasn't the only game he was hit hard. Say the Chargers decide to go with the tackle at 3, and then at 4, you know, Ezekiel Elliott's on the board, and we know the Cowboys need help at that position, especially in light of the Tony Romo injuries over the last few seasons. You might not see a defensive player taken until the 5th pick of the draft, and it just drops another quality playmaker down to where the Bears are going to pick.
No, I agree with you. It's going to be hard for Dallas to pass up Ezekiel Elliott. I know we can say with all their suspension problems on defense, and they're throwing out the biggest smoke screens right now when you look at Dallas, that, hey, we can come back later in the draft and get a running back. You pass up Ezekiel Elliott, they could be passing up Emmitt Smith. That's how good of a player Ezekiel Elliott is. He is a three-down back, and his best work is without the football in his hands. He could be a great blocker for Tony Romo on third down. So I'm with you. I think that's a possibility for them at 4. And then Jalen Ramsey could potentially fall. And like you said, it just starts pushing talented players down the board. And I bring up Tennessee again. Tennessee has the ammo to trade into the top 10. Let's say if Tunsil's gone and now they're going to target at Stanley because they have a huge need at left tackle, now there'll be another offensive player taken that's just going to push another good defensive player down the board to the Bears at 11.
See?
Yep. Oh, no, I do agree that how the quarterback scenario at the beginning of the draft is going to affect the Bears at 11. But, you know, when we started talking about the draft months ago, you didn't know even how to think at 11 because you didn't, you know that, you know, Fish was going to go all in. If he was a poker game, it's all in because he's got to hit on this quarterback, else he's going to lose his job. And so he's going for the his life extension by making this trade and identifying the quarterback which they're going to pick. I know he hasn't been identified yet. However, a lot of people think it's going to be Goff.
I just think it's interesting because is there a defensive player that's going to drop, say, around where San Francisco picks at 7 or where Cleveland picks at 8?
Well, you got to think it would be probably Miles Jack and how people feel about his medical recheck. You know, there was, you know, whether it's just smoke screens again, oh, his knee, you know, some doctors view him as only a 7-year player. So what? If he's a 7-year player, I'm taking him if I'm the Bears. I know he's got a banged up knee, but he had a 40-inch vertical on a bum leg. You know, most players that are drafted in the first round, what is the likelihood they even make 7 years? You already brought up a couple. I mean, if you can get 7 productive years out of Miles Jack, that'd be pretty darn good, in my opinion. But he could fall, depending on the medical recheck.
Do you have to go to a commercial?
I do.
Okay, so I want to come back to this topic specifically. So can we take a break and come right back to this?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Tom Thayer is here with Football Thoughts. Jim Miller's along as well. I'm Zach Zabin, and you can join us at 312-644-6767. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. The official tablet app of the Chicago Bears, Bears Daily, powered by Xfinity, is now available for free download. Search Bears Daily for the latest team news, videos, photos, and more. Jim Miller's here. So's Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Best caller of the hour wins a gift certificate to Sports Authority at 312-644-6767. So before the break, we were talking about, and this is the tough part of being a general manager, because you have to take into account, it's not a perfect scenario sometimes when you're looking at very talented players. There's an injury history. Miles Jack is a great example, Tom, where, you know, he's coming off a serious leg injury, and according to some reports, he may have only 4 or 5 good years in him before arthritis sets in. And if you're a general manager, do you take that into account?
Yeah, but, you know, I think that's the new norm in the NFL, because when I was playing, and I played till I was 33, you know, Hilgi and Horn and Hamp and Ming and all these guys played well into their 30s. And I don't think that's the new norm of the NFL. And we've seen an example of it is the young retirees from the NFL. So I don't think when we were coming out of college, we didn't make a lot of money. And I always tell the story. The 11th year, we were walking out of the locker room. Walter's 11th year, we were walking out of the locker room. And I said, Walter, why are you still so great? And he says, because I'm not rich yet. And I think it's different. The salaries nowadays allow these guys to get wealthier quicker, where they don't have to play until their 30s. They don't have to get the abusive years under their belt like we had to do, because we had to try to become financially sound through football. Nowadays, if you're Miles Jack and if you sign one contract, or you're lucky enough to sign two, you should be financially secure for the rest of your life, by all means. And so, you know, Jim, I do think there's a new norm in the NFL that it's not the over 30 guys. It's what can you make before 30?
Yeah, well, I mean, because the draft is slated and slotted now, I mean, already the agents are looking towards that second contract. That's really where the player's going to cash in, because it's, you know, back in the day before, say, the Sam Bradford contract when he was drafted by the Rams, that was an $80 million deal
right
for Sam Bradford. Then you come back and how it's been adjusted in Cam Newton. Conversely, when he was drafted by Carolina, his total contract and compensation was only $21 million. So it's just, it is different. It's still, I'm not saying that's not a lot of money. It's a lot of
money. But if you're lucky enough to get to that second contract, then
right.
You should be set for the rest of your life.
You're right. You're right. And that's what you should be aiming for if you're a young rookie getting drafted in today's NFL.
312-644-6767 is the phone number. To the phones we go. Angel on the north side. Angel, you're on Bears All Access.
Gentlemen, I wish you guys were on at 6 o'clock every day. My question would be about Noah Spence. I called you guys 2 weeks ago about Leonard Floyd and kind of fell off his bandwagon a little bit. But I read about Noah Spence and all the things that he overcame. You know, a dream scenario for me would be that the Bears would trade with the Jets, swap first rounds, pick up Mo, send them a fourth or a third or whatever. Or maybe even the Titans, swap first round with them and maybe pick up a second. But what do you guys think about Noah Spence? you know, with everything that he's been through and what kind of player he is?
Well, just from what I know, I saw him down at the Reese's Senior Bowl. He won the defensive award of the week. I mean, this guy does provide a lot of pass rush when you look at Noah Spence. Some will project him as a outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense. 6'3", 251 pounds, comes with all kinds of production, even though he transferred to Eastern Kentucky from Ohio State, had the issues with ecstasy, which is pretty amazing because his father's in law enforcement, and you know, just he seems like he's gotten his act together. When you look at Noah Spence, from what I understand, he's had over like 30 tests that he's passed. So I think he's put everything behind him, but he does provide a lot of pass rush and definitely has juice coming off the edge to get to the quarterback. So I think, as you know, what team is going to take a shot on him? I think teams are starting to feel pretty comfortable about where Noah Spence is with his issues that he's dealt with.
And what type of locker room do you have? You know, Jim, you get a guy that maybe has a little bit of some question marks in his past, but if you bring him into a strong locker room that has great leadership, that you have you have the guys that are really focused on the team aspect in the locker room, and then you have a guy like John Fox who has a great deal of experience with personalities that come in every trait. And I do think that this could be a supporting cast led by Vic Fangio, defensive coordinator, John Fox, Ryan Pace, and the whole upper management crew.
You think the Bears are willing to take a chance on a young guy who has – see, this is different. I know a lot of people like to bring up the Ray McDonald stuff, but that was different. That came off a recommendation for Vic Fangio, and he apologized to everyone in the Bears organization because that was on him. But when it comes to young players and you're trying to build a core, a culture – of young players to move forward, wouldn't you be a little bit scared of bringing in a guy like this?
Well, it could be out of the coaches and general manager's hands, because normally your first round draft pick, you have to get endorsement of ownership. So it would have to be George McCaskey and the board, where, you know, if Ryan Pace and John Fox, they say, hey, here's what we're thinking. If this player falls to us, we're thinking about selecting them. And right away, ownership may say, no way. We're not selecting that player. It's too risk reward in the first round, because they're the ones that are going to have to sign off of it. I mean, think of these two mega traits. Ownership, whether Jeffrey Lurie or the Philadelphia Eagles or Stan Kroenke, these guys can't just go out there and wheel and deal. They got to go present that and show what they're thinking and present it to the owners, and they're going to say, hey, go ahead, you have my support, because ultimately they're the ones that are writing the checks. And so that is something that ownership would have to sign off on, because, you know, you look at a team, say like Dallas. They signed Greg Hardy. That backfired. They drafted Randy Gregory. That backfired. Right now, DeMarcus Lawrence is suspended for 4 games. I'd like to think that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones are saying, you want to know what? Maybe we need to start rethinking some of our red flag players.
It's
not worth it. And so could they honestly draft a guy like Noah Spence, he have a relapse, and then they're sitting there left holding the bag again? That would be devastating for a team like the Dallas Cowboys.
And you look at a team like the Bears, for example, from 2009 to 2012, Bears drafted 26 players. There's only one player out of that 26 that's on the team still, and Alshon Jeffrey. And this should be a time where those players make up the core of your football team. And that just gives you an idea. You can't make mistakes. You have to make sure, at least in rounds 1 and 2, that you're getting guys that will contribute, where you don't have to worry about it's tough enough.
Well, I tell you this, it's unfortunate, because you investigate the talent of Shea McClellan as a defensive end. I'm not going to draft him. He's not coming to my football team as a defensive end. Yeah, he may come walk up on stage as a linebacker. That's fine. But again, like Spence, it's the same thing. You have to go investigate what he's been doing since he's been out of college. Is he hanging with the right kind of people? Is he investing time each day to some type of physical, physical standard that's going to upgrade his ability in the NFL? So, you know, there's a different eye test that each of these guys will pass.
Look at Kandice out of Ole Miss. Many people say he's the most talented guy that you have from a defensive standpoint, but he's not going to go anywhere near the top 10 because of all the off the field. It matters to these teams now more than ever. 312-644-6767. Back out to the phones we go. Schomburg, Timothy, you are on Bears All Access.
Well, wow, Zach, I had my question ready, but that stat you just gave just made me think twice. Wow. Anyways, You know what, fellas, I think this is the best show in town. And listen, I'm going to load them up for you guys. I know I want other people to get their questions in, but this is the last show before the draft. So I'm going to give each and every one of you a question. I'll just do a back-to-back, and you can answer afterwards. So, Zach, I need you to put on Ryan Pace's hat real quick. We have the 11th pick. Last year we had the 7th pick. He didn't get on the field at all. So are you, Zach, are you trading that 11th pick to stack up draft picks this year? And if you're not doing that, are you going to get a running back at 11? Now, Tom Thayer, I want you, Mr. Thayer, to put on the head coaching hat. You guys went out and got Bobby Massey, right? And he's a proven right tackle. And by the way, awesome interview last week. He has chemistry with Kyle Lowe, and they work out together. Are you coming to camp in July as Kyle Long as your right guard, or are you going to do a 50-50 and put him at right guard and let him go at left tackle a little bit? And number two, Tom, losing Martellus Bennett, there was a lot of internal stuff, and I don't ever second-guess an organization, but Martellus Bennett, people fail to realize he was a hell of a blocker as a tight end. Are the Bears missing that blocking tight end? And, Mr. Miller, here's yours. You just have to be Mr. Jim Miller, the former NFL quarterback and an awesome individual. Jim, today I couldn't believe that a breaking news was Deflategate, and my 9-year-old son couldn't believe it. One is I wanted you to explain, does it matter to you as a quarterback, and how did you like your footballs afterwards? And number two, Jim, when this whole Josh Norman, and Tom, you can answer this too, that whole Josh Norman thing came out, there was people on all networks calling Josh Norman a system cornerback. He's not that good. He's a system cornerback. Could you break down, could you break down as a quarterback, you've seen Josh Norman, so have you, Tom, what is a system cornerback? They called him the number one cornerback in the league, and then all this happened. Everybody was calling him the system quarterback.
We'll explain. Timothy, great questions. Let's start with the questions for Jim. First off, does it matter to you, Jim, if the football is overinflated or if it's underinflated?
Yeah, for me, I don't want it overinflated. The ball does travel better when it's overinflated, but you know, for me, I wanted it on the lower end of the spectrum, right at the 12-5 range. When I went into football games, you know, I think everybody's pretty much well aware this isn't even about deflated footballs anymore. This is about the power of NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell and his ability to exercise his broad powers as commissioner.
Right. Brady just got caught in the middle. It's the reason that Robert Kraft backed off, even though people are wondering, why is he backing off when he's got a pretty good case with his quarterback? That's the reason. It's about the commissioner still having the power to discipline based on what they agreed to in the collective bargaining agreement that they fought so hard between both sides a few years back.
Yeah, and that's what the owners want. And so that's why it was taken to court, ultimately to prove, and that's what the judge ruled today in the Second Circuit Court of Appeals, that yes, in the collective bargaining agreement, Roger Goodell does have these broad powers where he can penalize players, but also a dissenting judge gave a somewhat different version, to, you know, basically saying that Roger Goodell kind of missed the boat on this one because it's an equipment violation, which is what it is. And for a first offense, it's an $8,000 fine. He basically said Roger Goodell got a little egregious with what he's doing with suspensions and all that stuff.
Well, go to Timothy's question about the offensive line. You know, Kyle Long's going to stay at right guard because I think if you try to move him from right guard to left tackle, you're really going to confuse him because it's such a difference of ability and occupation of each position. They're different. And I think if you take Charles Leno Jr. out of the lineup and put Kyle there, you're slowing the process of the offensive line. You want to keep those five guys in-house as long as you can. Hopefully it'd be Matt Slauson at left guard and Hieronis Grissou at center, but I think there's going to be some interior competitiveness. So, you know, give me Kyle and Massey on the right side, and right now you develop a strength to the offense that you have a go-to side, and then you kind of incorporate that left side into the game planning.
As for Martellus Bennett, he probably would have missed the offseason stuff again, just like he did last year, would have created a bit of a distraction last year in the deal. So I think it made it easy for the Bears to go out and make the trade that they decided to make.
You know, personality-wise, I like Martellus. He's a fun guy to have a conversation with. But as a teammate, I think he'd be frustrating. Because when you get all the tight ends in the tight end room, you need everybody pointed in the same direction every single day.
Got to be all in.
Because you don't have time to jack around or go off on a tangent that's going to take 20 minutes out of the meeting time. You need guys that are going to be on the practice field and give 100% effort and know every single one of your assignment that doesn't confuse the running back position or the quarterback position in certain scenarios that you expect them to be in the right place.
And, of course, the Bears would like to trade down from 11 and add extra picks. I think everybody would, but that makes it very difficult to do.
You know, Jay Hilgenberg and I get in this argument a lot because he's talking about trading down too, but eventually you have to make a pick.
Right.
You can't trade and have 30 picks and go, oh, I never didn't pick anybody, but I got 30 picks.
Seems like the Browns are trying to do that.
But. Right, but they've already, I mean, is that the direction that the Browns need to go to try to capitalize some interest from their fan base and try to get this thing on the right track?
What the Browns are trying to do, I think, just based on what they've been saying from their headquarters, they're trying to do it the way St. Louis has done it, where you build up your football team.
St. Louis, what have they done?
Where you build up what you feel is a pretty good defense. You have the running back. You start building up the offensive line. Got a little bit of speed on your team.
Get them into the playoffs and then give me St. Louis as
an
example.
And then you got a quarterback. I just think that the most important thing would be to go out there and make sure that you have the quarterback
first. What was St. Louis's record last year? If you want to go out there and have all these draft scenarios to have a 500 record, then fine.
I didn't say I would build my team that way.
It's about winning a Super Bowl, period.
Totally with you there.
Well, that's funny because that's all we're hearing. Oh, this is Moneyball. This is new. This has been, this is something that's going to take over the NFL. This has already been done, and it was done by St. Louis that you just mentioned. They gave up the farm when they gave up selecting Robert Griffin III, and they got a whole bunch of draft picks and that, and now they still realize we need to address our quarterback spot. So this really isn't nothing new that Cleveland's doing, but shocking that they pass over another franchise quarterback. Big Ben, when that happened, he said he'd make sure that he would kill Cleveland every time he's played him, and he's done it pretty much
every
time.
Was he like 21-2 or 18-2 or something?
You make it sound like you're a Browns fan.
If
Carson Wentz or Jared Goff goes into Cleveland and carves up that football team, imagine what those Cleveland Browns fans will be thinking. We passed
and
up
you know,
these guys.
You've seen Big Ben limp out there on ankles that you think that we'd have a hard time walking and still goes out there and plays. Just, you know, his mental toughness is a great contribution to that football team.
Man, they're a mess. We got to take a break. We'll come back. 312-644-6767. Zach, Tom, and Jim on Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So the draft begins Thursday night, and ChicagoBears.com is going to have draft coverage tailored exclusively for Bears fans, including a live digital broadcast from the PNC studio at Halas Hall surrounding the Bears' first-round pick on Thursday night. Lauren Screedon, Dan Chiggetts, and Larry Mayer will be in studio with their analysis, exclusive interviews, instant scouting reports, everything that you need to do.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be at Halas Hall with you. You're going to be with Jeff Joniak and Dan Pompey. You're going to be host of others.
Yeah.
Patrick Manley out where? Draft City? Is that where you're going to be? Downtown?
Draft Town.
Yeah, and I will be at Halas Hall, and we're going to do it up beginning at 6 o'clock right here on The Score, and then you can go to ChicagoBears.com for their exclusive draft analysis. There's a lot happening on Thursday night, multimedia platform. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. Zach Zabin, Tom Thayer, and Jim Miller with you here on Bears All Access. This is our final edition before the draft. We'll recap it all next Wednesday night beginning at 6 o'clock, and there will be a lot to talk about then, but there's a lot to talk about now. Best caller for the rest of the show gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority, so let's begin the festivities with Joe and Lombard. Joe, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, guys, hope it's all right. I only got one question. If you were Adam Gase or the person making the call for the Bears, you got the 11th pick. It's your second year. You've got two players. You rate them equally. They end up pointing out or being at the same point, same value. Both work their tails off and are dedicated, going to be NFL players. One has a high ceiling, very high ceiling, but a low floor. The other one's got a pretty high floor, not as high a ceiling. Which direction you go? I'll hang up and listen to your response. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, Joe, you know, I'm going to investigate the defensive player first. I'm going to see how he fits into this system run by Vic Fangio, and can he be a contributor that's going to help stop, Aaron Rodgers and the other opponents within the division? Because that's where I have my head stuck right now. But You know, I don't know if there's a dynamic offensive player out there right now that I would say, hey, this is the direction you got to go when you consider signing Alshon to the franchise, Kevin White coming back, and, you know, I don't know if that guy's out there.
I go back and I look at the last three Super Bowls. I mean, you can go longer than that, but just take a look at the last three Super Bowls. The way the Seahawks just destroyed the Broncos, who had the Hall of Fame quarterback and the prolific offense that Denver had heading into that Super Bowl, Seahawks shut them down with great defense. The year after that, Patriots, huge defensive stops to beat the Seahawks in the Super Bowl. And then last year, it was all about the Broncos defense that helped them win the championship. That's what you need to compete for titles.
No, I agree. I mean, look how Denver basically, I've never seen Tom Brady get that rocked in an AFC championship game. How they hit him consistently and got after him at the quarterback spot, and then what they did to Cam Newton as well in the Super
And they
Super
did it
Bowl.
To Roethlisberger. I mean, look at the quarterbacks that they faced, and they shut them all down. And it's not as though Peyton Manning was Peyton Manning. I mean, he was a game manager during the playoffs. He was not the guy that we've become accustomed to seeing over the years, the guy that beat the Bears back in Super Bowl 41.
And I agree. I think he had a defensive end in Malik Jackson, who was phenomenal. You got two pass rushers that were outstanding, and you've got three good corners. That's what Denver had. It allows them to unleash that pass rush the way they have the past couple years in Denver. So looking that if that's how you want to build a defense, and I think John Fox knows very well what he built out there in Denver, he wants to mirror that for the Chicago Bears.
Back out to the phones we go. Keith and Darian, you are on Bears All Access.
Hi, guys. Great show. Love the show. Just a question. What could you expect to get for the 11th pick in the draft? Did you get, you know, a 5 and a 6, a 3 and a 6, a couple, you know, what could you get?
Jim, what do you think?
What does he mean, like trading down from 11?
Yeah, I think so, but you got to know who's available. I mean,
well, one, you got to have a willing trade partner. And I think what also you don't want to do is, like, let's say if the first round, the Bears have 5 guys that they're targeting. Okay, you got to make sure that those guys are there. Let's say 2 are off the board already when the Bears select at 11. And they say, hey, if we trade down 3 spots, are our other 3 players even going to be there? You know, that's why I go back to Dallas. Remember when Dallas traded, I think they were at 18, and they traded all the way to 28. And they were hoping that Cordero Patterson was going to come to them and fall to them.
That's right.
At the 28 spot, and it didn't happen because Minnesota traded ahead of them at 27 and selected Patterson. And then everybody thought Dallas was crazy that they ended up drafting Travis Frederick, the lineman, the center, which proved to be a good pick. But you got to make sure of your 5 guys or 6 guys that you're targeting in the first round. If you trade down too far, what if they're not there? So all those things factor in. And, you know, compensation, yeah, the trade chart is still factors in. And I'll give you a case in point. Where the Bears are at 11, that's 1,250. Say a team at 16, it's 1,000 points. The Bears minimum need to get, 250 points for a team to trade up to where the Bears are going to be at 11. Because even Jeff Fisher said that trade chart was, you know, they went through all the scenarios and they investigated it and they used a chart study that still was applicable for today. So
if you love the guy and he works out, does anyone remember what the Giants gave up to get Eli Manning? No, they remember the 2 championships that he won. That's right. It's about hitting and making sure that you get the right guy. We've got 30 seconds before we have to say goodbye. Tom, who are the Bears picking at 11?
Defensive tackle.
Jim?
I'm going to go with Shaq Lawson, the name we threw out earlier, Clemson defensive end. I
hope Buckner's there.
Player.
I will say that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Buckner would be great.
Buckner would be my guy. Lewis Riddick has Buckner falling to the Bears at 11. I think it'll end up being Shaq Lawson again. If you go by the Ryan Pace traits, big school, big production, good football character, Lawson, check, check, check. Man, what a good show. It'll be interesting when we meet again next Wednesday at 6 o'clock. The draft is Thursday. I'm going to give the Sports Authority gift card for the caller of the show to Chris from Lakeview, who got us started off talking about Shaq Lawson and the injury and what you do with that pick. So for Tom Thayer and Jim Miller, I'm Zach Zaidman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by FanDuel, MasterCard, and Verizon.